on KLYT. This is ABQ Connect.
Obviously, everybody is well aware of the current events in Israel and Iran, and we're praying for all the people that, you know, I pray as much for the Muslims as I pray for the Christians because, you know, families are being impacted by all of this. Leaders are trying to make very difficult decisions. So, you know, I hope people, even though you might disagree politically or you agree heavily, please pray for the people. Tim Stewart is the CEO of Impact Nations, and they are doing some amazing work. Their website says Impact Nations partners with leaders in the developing world to rescue lives and transform communities by engaging people in practical and supernatural expressions of the kingdom of God. I love supernatural because... Mm. And, you know, Jesus is really like a superhero, isn't he?
Absolutely.
But we don't necessarily think about him in that terms, but absolutely, he's supernatural.
Indeed, yeah.
Hey, I noticed on your website that, you know, you're working to rescue lives in places like Gaza.
Yes.
What a war zone that has
been. Oh, boy, yeah. You know, one of the things that I think makes Impact Nations unique is the Lord has just, for 20 years now, Impact Nations, we're celebrating our 20th year this year. For 20 years, the Lord has opened up doors to help us to reach people that nobody else can and nobody else is. And Gaza is a classic example of that. one of the things that people will see very often in the news right now, and this is pushback that I get and my team gets, and it's very legitimate, which is, well, are you sure that you're actually doing this work? Because we see in the news that Hamas is just getting their hands on all of this aid. Mm. I've had conversations with our contacts in the region. I had one just on Friday. That is absolutely true. Hamas is getting their hands on aid that is coming in over the border. And there are many very large global organizations, global aid organizations that, you know, name brands that people would know that have stopped working in the region because they just can't get stuff in. The difference is...
They can't get stuff to the innocents.
They can't get
people
that's correct.
That need it.
That's exactly it. The borders are closed, and so you can't get aid packages in. Here's the thing. Impact Nations is uniquely positioned because we are small enough. We're not the big guys. We're small enough that we can be kind of agile and under the radar, but we're big enough to be able to do some pretty big damage. And when I say big damage, I'm telling you that we are celebrating 1 million meals having been distributed in Gaza in the last year. Mm. And we're doing that at a very grassroots level. And so what's happening is our team on the ground are purchasing food from, and it's really hard to imagine this or picture it. Because I said to my team, our contact is in Bethlehem, and so I was talking with her last week, and I said, oh, so they, you know, we send the money, and then they purchase the food at the store. And she said, at the store? She said, there's no stores left. Are you kidding me? Like, no way. These are stalls at the side of the road. She says, the border opens up about three times a month for commerce. And so Hamas is letting goods in to be sold. And so what we're doing at Impact Nations with our partners is we're providing the means to purchase that food at a grossly inflated price, but still, because we're buying in bulk, we're able to get a fair amount done. As I said, 1 million meals so far. They're purchasing food at those roadside stands. And these are what we would call Muslim background believers, folks that have been in a discipling relationship, having come from a Muslim background, but encountered Christ up to 10 years ago.
Oh, so a lot of the people are indigenous.
Oh, always.
So they
all
speak
of our
the language there.
100%. So this is what makes Impact Nation special is we always work with local leaders. We do not, I think that part of the difficulty, the church has a history of kind of this West knows best and almost we come in with a colonialist attitude of just push the locals out of the way, we're going to impose our way, versus the model that Impact Nations uses, which is we come alongside local leaders who are already doing great work and we say, man, we love what you're doing. How can we help you do more of that? And so we bring along resources to help them expand and get better at what they're doing. And we do that in a lot of ways. But so in Gaza, we found these folks just basically they're just going and buying groceries and bringing just bags full of groceries to a tent with as many as 30 people living in this, you know, UN style tent, and just coming alongside and saying, here, would you, you can have this. And, one of the things that does is it brings dignity to people. Rather than us doing food, prepared meals, and you got to line up for 4 hours to get a bowl full of soup, instead, we're actually providing food that they can prepare in their own tent. It's not a home anymore. Most of the homes are gone. But yeah, so that's kind of how we're doing that. If, by the way, if people want to find out more about that, they could actually, if they want right now, head to our website, impactnations.com. You can register tonight at 7 p.m. local time. We're doing something we call Meet the Partners. One of the things we want to do is we want our donor base to feel connected to the work. So when you give to Impact Nations, you actually get a chance to have a conversation face-to-face over the magic of Zoom with the people who are actually doing the work. So you really, there is a sense of transparency and understanding and buy-in. Like, oh, it's not just that I gave a few bucks and now I can feel better about myself, but actually I can talk to the person who's going to go and spend my donation to make somebody else's life better in the name of Jesus, and I can pray for them and I can hear, how can I be praying for you, and things like that.
Two things that I've heard that I want to focus on.
Yeah.
One, is these are indigenous people, many former Muslims.
Yes.
And they're believers now.
Yeah.
But they are indigenous people.
Yeah.
I mean, they could be Israelis.
Yeah.
They could be Arabs of some delineation. I don't know how to say that correctly. What I want to ask you is, in a war-torn area, you mentioned a million. You've sent out a million meals, and those have been consumed, and you feel good about that they've actually gotten in the hands of the people that need them.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas maybe some other food has been intercepted and used for, you know, manipulative purposes or something like that. So I guess I'm wondering, do we actually understand the daily urgency of how much is needed to help these people?
I don't think we possibly could. I've not been to Gaza for obvious reasons, but I have been to other places where we provide aid. One of the things Impact Nations does is just get relief to those in desperate need. I was in Malawi last year. Malawi is a little country down in the southern part of Africa. These communities had recently suffered from the longest cyclone, which is like a typhoon, in the history, in recorded history. And it had wiped out entire communities. I was sitting, speaking with a gentleman who, we were only about 300 feet from what looked like just a mountainside. It was just a big thing of hard gravel. And he said, 10 feet under there is where my house used to be. It's where my entire community is. He says there's an entire community buried under there, and many were buried alive because the typhoon came and it washed this mountainside down. And you can see it just looks like this river of gravel or whatever. And the heartbreak that we encountered, we were there doing medical clinics and providing food and stuff like that, and now we're helping them get gardens started and stuff like that so they can provide for themselves. But until I sat with that gentleman and heard his story, and he talked about how his wife was barely saved. A couple of teenagers came along just as she was being buried. She was buried up past her chest in gravel and sand and dirt and was going to die. And these young men came and dug her out and got her away just before the rest of the mountain came and wiped out their home and things like that. When you meet people and hear the urgency and the heartbreak, suddenly it brings everything home. But until you've experienced it yourself, I don't think there's any way any of us can understand it fully.
So what happens this evening? You've got a Zoom meeting. People are actually going to be talking with some of your partners.
We do this about 3 or 4 times a year. We'll do something called Meet the Partners. And we're working in actively anywhere between 8 and 10 nations at a time. And 3 times a year, we will have one of our partners come and just share stories. Now, this one, you do need to register. It might be too late, but you need to register for security reasons, because we can't, you know, there are bad actors in the area and they would seek to do harm to our partners. We work in a few very sensitive nations, sensitive regions, where we have to be very careful. We actually just recently had to do some major changes to some work we were doing in Asia, Southeast Asia, because there were some threats from from locals who were up to no good. So you got to register for this thing. But then once you're registered and we can kind of figure out who you are or whatever, you come in and we've got over 100 people that'll be in Zoom today to listen as our partners from the region will be just sharing some personal stories of what they've seen, what the heartbreak they've seen, but also the hope that they've seen come as a direct result of the Impact Nations family. By the way, we've got a global family all over the world that are giving so generously for this work and others. So,
like me, many of our listeners have may not thought about, okay, here's an indigenous person. Let's again take Gaza as an example. Yeah. That was raised a Muslim, generations of Muslim families, and they came to faith in Christ by hearing the gospel. The Holy Spirit got a hold of them. I think that people may not appreciate that faith decision, how grave danger they put themselves in. This is a real commitment. This is not, hey, that sounds good, I'm going to try it for a while.
No, this is very serious stuff. In fact, a couple years ago, we built a safe house in Pakistan. I've been there. I've been to the safe house that we built. It was built specifically for families that were fleeing persecution because they had made a decision for Christ, and their own family members, you know, brothers, parents, whatever, were threatening their lives, and they had to run and find refuge. This is very serious stuff in some cases. Now, one of the things we do, we're working with people who themselves were once Muslims, and now they're sharing the gospel, right? Mm-hmm. In Uganda, a very powerful leader, a very dear friend of mine, she came from a Muslim background. She was a child bride, and because somebody came along and shared the love of Jesus with her. But this is the thing, demonstrated the love of God. See, the love of God isn't just to be preached, it's got to be demonstrated. If it's not good news for the poor, then it's not good news. I'm sorry, but it's just not. We've got to demonstrate, we can't just use words, we've got to demonstrate it. And so when we come in and we show compassion, quite practically, by providing shelter for those in need, for providing food for those who are hungry. One of our biggest programs right now is providing care for teenage girls in Uganda who have suffered abuse, usually at the hands of a relative. They're living in a home with an uncle or a grandfather who abuses them, and then when they become pregnant, they're kicked out of the house because, oh, you're dirty, you're worthless. And now we find them in the streets, they're pregnant, they're alone, they don't know what to do. Our team comes along, scoops them up, and loves on them. And it's not long before they start saying, well, who's this Jesus that you keep telling me about? I want to know more about him. Or people say, we're working with Muslims in India right now who fled the Afghanistan situation when everything went south there a few years back, found themselves living in abject poverty in India. We've got an entire school that's teaching them skills so that they can find work in India because they were starving to the point. I talked to these gentlemen. I was sitting on the steps of the largest mosque in India. I talked to these four gentlemen who said, our community is so desperate that we've had families talking out loud, considering selling one of their children into slavery so they could feed the rest of their children. And I said, that won't do. We got to do something about it.
Well, that's why I asked you earlier. I don't think Americans necessarily understand desperation.
Yeah. No.
Yeah. And they don't understand starvation.
No. And it's a difficult thing, right? Because I don't want to ever I don't want to negate, I don't want to make light of people's difficulties here because it's all relative. We joke about first world problems, but hey, if you're struggling to make the rent or pay your credit card bill, that's still a very real problem that you feel. And so I don't want to negate that. But yeah, there's a level of misery that none of us have ever known and likely never will.
Well, I just appreciate the fact that you're able to say with, you know, a lot of conviction, we are delivering meals, we're delivering shelter, people are coming to faith in Christ. Mm-hmm. Even our partners, they're really serving because they once may have been in the same situation.
Yeah. Well, and Annabelle, who I just mentioned, our Muslim background believer in Uganda, now leads a ministry. She's rescuing these pregnant teens. She has seen over 5,000 young women come to Christ as a direct result, and we're now teaching practical skills. We've got skills programs with 3,500 students.
Hey, and let's talk about that education, because I want to know, I think education that we're culturally thinking about may not be the same as what you're talking about. So we're with Tim Stewart, who's the CEO of Impact Nations, and they happen to be based in Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Yeah.
You can find out more about them at their website, which is Impact Nations. impactnations.com. In fact, you might want to go there during the break and take a look at whether or not you can join the meeting, the Meet the Partners meeting tonight. That might be closed by now, but there'll be others, and you can find out more about the ministry as we go along. Tim will be joining us every few weeks and talking about all the stuff they're doing. So we'll be back with Tim Stewart right after these messages.
You're listening to KLYT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect.
Tim Stewart is the CEO of Impact Nations, based here in good old Albuquerque, New Mexico. And we have an experience culturally here, Tim, where, you know, we most recently we hear Kids Count New Mexico talking about New Mexico's last in all 50 states in fourth grade reading and eighth grade math scores.
Yeah.
But you alluded to education and training for people that are in developing countries like Uganda, or even in, even though Israel is far advanced, what's now happened to Gaza, I mean, it's a parking lot. It's been leveled.
Yeah.
So what does training and education mean in your ministry?
Yeah. It looks different everywhere we're at, but for the most part, most of our education work is done in vocational schools. It's training people with practical skills that they can use to go find work or start their own small business. I'll keep telling the story of rescued teen moms, right? Our program is rescuing these young ladies and by the way, when I say young ladies, let's get clear here. We're talking about girls as young as 13, 14 years old who have found themselves pregnant and alone with nothing. Mm-hmm. Now, they were taken out of school at a very young age, probably to try to help raise, because the family's poor. So now we take the girls out always of school and get them working as housekeepers or something like that, which then, by the way, exposes them to abusers. But it means they've got no education. Well, all right. So we've rescued this young lady. She's 13 years old. She's now got a baby. Well, we can't just send her back to kindergarten where she last left off in school, right? It doesn't make any sense. And so what do? Well, we start to provide skills training so that she can go and find some practical work. So we've got something called the School of Purpose, where we're training young women in things such as, sewing and embroidery, certainly, but also things like catering, party planning. Hairdressing is a huge one, man. In Uganda, hairdressing, like, it doesn't matter what level of economic surplus you have, you are going to go and find yourself a nice hairdresser to get the job done. So there's tons of work there. So we're teaching them practical skills. At the same time, the gospel is absolutely just built right into all of that, and some basic business training and how to understand how to manage your own budget so that when you earn money, you know how to start saving up to reinvest in your business or what have you, how to make sure that there's going to be food tomorrow, not just today.
So this training sounds like ongoing relationships.
Absolutely, yeah. So
the people doing the training, are they mainly believers?
Yes, they are. And what's interesting is many that are doing the training are actually graduates from previous years. I was just on the phone this morning with one of our leaders in Uganda. He's got a ministry where we are training. We have over 2,000 students who are learning high-tech skills such as web development, graphic design, video editing. These are high-tech skills. And he works all over the world. In fact, right now he's in Grand Rapids, Michigan, working on trying to find more and more customers so that when these students graduate, they've got a custom, you know, you might graduate, be living in a slum in Uganda, graduate from a vocational school with Impact Nations, and by tomorrow you've got a job in Scotland at a car dealership because you're working remotely. The world is so small, right? So we try to think possibilities for these young people and get them the work that they need. And we do internships and things like that so they understand what does it mean to show up to work every day, you know, well-groomed and ready to go. We teach them how to interview for a job and all these things so that they can really succeed and thrive long-term.
What's interesting about what you're talking about is you mentioned in Uganda, women are not actually allowed culturally to do a lot of the things that you were talking about. They're relegated to, I guess, a very chauvinistic, this is where you belong. And obviously, we as Americans know the incredible capabilities. Most recently, I think we've got some of the most amazing jet pilots, that are women. And maybe we didn't think about that because we had a bias. Well, obviously, we know the capabilities of people, period.
Yeah.
And you're recognizing that same thing in cultures that haven't recognized that ever.
There's gender bias, and then there's economical bias, right? I just mentioned slums. I've been in some of these slums. Like, the worst slum in the world I've ever been to is in Kampala, Uganda. The sights and smells, oh my goodness. The violence that happens. You can feel a shift as the sun is starting to set and you're in the slum, and it's like, oh, we got to go because it's not safe here. But the reality is, each and every person in those slums was made in the image of God. They were made for a purpose, on purpose, for a purpose. They've got a future ahead of them, but they've lost hope. They need somebody to come alongside and say, you were made in the image of God. You have inherent dignity. You've got skills and talents and abilities buried way down deep inside of you that nobody's ever called out of you before. Come, let's have a relationship together and see what's way down deep inside, and watch and see as they come alive. The young lady named Megan, who was in that very situation and was about to, she had reached the point where she was contemplating selling her body on the streets just to make ends meet, met our team, found out about our vocational school, got high-tech training. She now is the COO of a company with about 100 employees that does digital marketing. In fact, you mentioned our website, impactnations.com. That company is the one that designs all of Impact Nation stuff. They built our brand, they built our website, all of our print media, all these things are designed by students who came out of the slums and are now flourishing.
Now, is your website available in other languages?
It's not yet, to my knowledge. We're a registered charity in Canada, Australia, and the United States. So if you go to our website, and you can get a charitable receipt for giving in any of those three countries. But then, you know, we do have a global. I've had as many as 8 different nations, Western nations, represented on a team as we go and work alongside our leaders in these developing nations for a couple of weeks just to be with them.
What are other ways that our listeners can get involved?
Yeah. Well, certainly pray with us. If you ever want to come visit one of these nations, we do what we call Journeys of Compassion. So you can actually come and minister with us. You're going to get to work in mobile medical clinics, getting medicine to desperately needy people. You're going to get clean water to entire communities as you do that. And you're going to get to pray for the sick and tell people about Jesus and things like that. So Journeys of Compassion is a big one. Pray with us. Get on our newsletter so you know what's going on, so you can be praying with us.
Tim, have you seen when people receive prayer? Have you seen life change? Have you seen healings, all those kind of things?
Again and again and again. We see the lame walk. We see blind see. We see the deaf ear hear. My wife and I took our 3 children with us to the Philippines a couple years ago. And I've got video of my daughter, who was 10 at the time, saying, yeah, this lady was paralyzed, couldn't get up out of her wheelchair. We prayed for her, and then she got up and she started walking. Prayed for a young gal who was deaf and mute, had never spoken, laid hands on her, prayed for her, and by the end of that day, they couldn't get her to stop talking. And what that changes, of course, like, wonderful thing to celebrate, a young gal getting her hearing and being able to speak, but think about the alienation that comes from being in a community that does not have accessibility for those who are impaired, right? Mm-hmm. To suddenly have them be able to be integrated with the community again, to be able to go to school. Their entire future has changed. So, yeah. It's pretty exciting stuff.
Do you have a lot of people that have gone through the ministry, maybe have come to faith in Christ, that are also teachers and other kinds of things?
Oh, yeah. I was in another place in Uganda, a totally different area, a couple years ago, and met the principal of the school, who used to be one of our students, and now he's the principal of the school.
So. Wow, Tim. I know we could talk another hour really easily talking about this. Tim Stewart, CEO of Impact Nations. You can go to impactnations.com and find out more about their ministry. Thanks for joining us.
You bet.
ABQ Connect is a production of KLYT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KLYT.